Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
Next guest made the Galway Senior Hurling Squad and got his first All-Star nomination. All of his dreams have come true. Life is perfect. But of course, things go wrong. He's dropped from the panel, lost his job, but still he fought his way back into the team, made another All-Ireland final, then changed his career and discovered what was really important to him along the way and crucially how to enjoy everything that he was doing. Now he wants to share all of that wisdom that he's learned. Tony O'Gregan, welcome into studio.
Thanks for having me, Oliver.
You're good and rested because you have a busy house at home, I gather.
It was nice to come to Dublin last night and get a night's sleep for the first time in a couple of months. We have two kids under two at the moment, so it's quite interesting, I'd say.
Joyous exhaustion. Is that the best way to put it? Not even admitting that much. Whereabouts is home, by the way, over in the west?
We're living in Athenry at the moment. Oh. I originally grew up in Ballybeg in Rathoon.
Is that a good bit away then?
I know, about 15, 20 minutes without traffic of Galway City.
It's a whole other story. And you grew up obviously surrounded by sport, various sports. Your parents were high achievers, both of them.
Yeah, I suppose Dad was a director of sport in UCG for nearly 40 years. My mother was a keen badminton player, as she liked to remind us. She won a couple of All-Irelands at that before we ever were successful. So, I was definitely very unfortunate with the environments I was in, be it in school or my community or the college I went to, or obviously been born in Galway as well. There was loads of opportunities from a sports perspective to develop your potential. And, you know, I had a certain amount of ability, but been fortunate enough to be around such great people in terms of my parents and coaches that allowed that to, you know, get to a next level in terms of playing intercounty.
And in East Galway, you're born with a Camogie in your hand, really, aren't you?
I suppose within Galway City, there's loads of sports. Obviously, we have a professional rugby team in Connacht and then the Gaelic football and hurling side of it, and, you know, a lot of athletics as well. So, multi-sport.
It's amazing city, in the fairness, success and that they have, considering the pool it's coming from with all of those.
We're probably one of the most successful counties in terms of the Gaelic, you know, with the ladies in terms of Gaelic football and Camogie as well, and the amount of Olympians we've produced as well. So it's a very vibrant county in terms of sports people and successful sports people.
Come here, when you're growing up and you're playing hurling as a young fella, is the pressure really bad as well in underage level from your memory of it? Because we know what it's like then when it gets to the senior championship and the elite end of things.
I suppose it's all our perspective at times, and definitely I was a person who probably put myself under extreme pressure at different stages of my career, and I chronicled that in the book, where maybe a minor final at 16, I'd got injured going into the lead into it, and all I could focus in on that I'd missed 3 weeks training rather than the 47 weeks I'd done, and ended up in very anxious and worried going into that first All-Ireland final. It was in Croke Park. You know, there was redeveloping, I think, the Hogan Stand or the Cusick Stand at that stage. So there was only going to be 50,000 at it. For a 16-year-old, you know, building up to that for a week, you know, it did cause a lot of anxiety and worry for me. And I didn't play to my potential in that game. And I remember breaking down afterwards, crying, feeling that I'd let myself down and let my family down. And Dad coming into the dressing room in Croke Park to console me, however he managed to do it. But, it was just an early experience that maybe, you know, what the mind can do when you're maybe focused on things that, you know, aren't helpful to your performance.
You're overwhelmed, basically.
Yeah.
And of course, you only know now, looking back, that you were a child at the time.
Yeah.
Do you remember, did the consolation work? Did you carry it along with you, the pain of not going well for weeks afterwards as a teenager?
No, I think I was able to set it aside fairly quickly, back into school maybe the Tuesday after the match, and you know, you move on fairly quickly. But I knew there was a determination in me that, you know, I wanted to get back there my next year minor again and play a lot better in a final, and thankfully I did. But it did come up for me again maybe at 19 playing an under-21 final, where again missed a number of weeks preparation and, you know, just taken off after 20 minutes in the All-Ireland final again, and come back into college.
Was this
in
senior?
No, under-21.
Oh, under-21, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, but 3 years later, and the same kind of emotions came up, and you know, I kind of realised at that point I'm not handling All-Ireland finals well, or is it, you know, bigger important match as well, and you know, I didn't really know what to do with that self-awareness at that stage either, because you know, there wasn't that people around to help you, I suppose.
And then at senior level, you're in that 2005 final that Galway lose to Cork. What was your head like at that time? It must have been in a good place then. Because it was
I suppose the year previously we played in a National League final, which we'd won. And again, the National Final thing probably got to me a small bit again, and I got taken off after 20 minutes. So I just realised, maybe looking back at the book, I didn't really have any, if I didn't start well in certain situations, I probably didn't have a great mental recovery to respond to that, and would go off and go into, you know, my inner critic would take over, and you're playing useless and you won't be taken off and you're letting everyone down. I just go on this kind of negative thinking cycle. 2005 was a lot better, where, you know, I seemed to start matches well and I was fine, and we got to the All-Ireland final and was nominated for an All-Star. And, you know, probably things changed then. You had a management team for 3 or 4 years, Conor Hayes, and he left. And, you know, a new management team came in, and, you know, they had a different environment where, you know, you probably didn't feel as trusted in terms of selection, and your opinion maybe wasn't, you know, asked for, and you felt like maybe a number on
but
the
panel.
But
they're doing things differently, aren't they?
Yeah, everyone
have
does,
their,
yeah.
They have their own reasons for it.
We've all experienced that maybe in sports or a work environment where management changes, and everyone has a different approach, and, you know, we all respond to different things. And, you know, I definitely found that environment I had for the previous 4 or 5 years was, you know, more helpful for me to get more out of my potential.
You played better, you feel, under there, and it kind of unravels then, and you're dropped from, and it's just 3 years after a final.
Yeah, so like 21, I'm, you know, starting my first week as a chartered accountant in Galway at THKN. I had the option of doing a master's in economics that time, or starting in the bank, or doing the chartered accountant route, and I decided to do that. And I'm playing my first All-Ireland senior final, and, you know, life was mapped out for me for the next 3 years, really. You know, routine, a schedule, you know, I was, you know, hitting a lot of the markers that I wanted to hit in terms of my life goals. And then, you know, 3 years later, it all kind of unraveled for me. I felt maybe that environment I was in from a sports perspective, I burnt out from it. I was trying to manage professional exams, been a sports person, and, you know, I failed my final exams. My form and injuries just started to happen for those 2 years playing with Galway, and, you know, I got let go from the squad. And, you know,
how did you find out?
I got a letter from the county chairman, which is quite hard. I know a new management team was coming in, but, you know, it would have been nice to have a conversation with that new manager just
That's
to see.
Literally a physical letter.
Yeah. What I could have done differently, or what I could have worked on, or, you know, why I was being let go in terms of X, Y and Z. But just to say a letter that you weren't part of it, you know, it was hard to contend with. And, you know, I probably knew I'd failed my exams as well, and my contract and work was going to be finished, you know, a couple of months after that in February, and we're in an economic crisis as well. So
2008.
Yeah.
We know what happens in September.
It was a very searching time in terms of, you know, I'd seen myself as the athlete and sports person. You know, I'd seen myself as an accountant, and now, like, who the hell am I? Like, I've no job. I'm not on the Galway senior team, and, you know, there's no real part-time work around or whatever. And, you know, you do ask the deeper questions around what's your life for, and why you're here, and what's your purpose. And, you know, chapter one, my book kind of goes into depth in this, in terms of, you know, clarity versus confusion. And, you know, I had tied a lot of my self-esteem and self-worth into playing with Galway and my happiness, and probably tied a lot of it to being successful in my job and getting my exams and being an accountant. And, you know, when they're taken away from me, you have to kind of look at yourself and say, like, what is success for you now, and what do you want to stand for as a person in terms of your values, and, you know, what's your purpose now? And chapter one and two, like, really lean into that for people, that, you know, we can perform a role in terms of work, or we can perform a role in terms of sport, but it's not at the essence of who we are. And I think we all need to sometimes create that separation and not make all our identity about one thing.
I want to talk about that period again in your life, in your early 20s, because it's a really insight into kind of the young male brain, which you're probably not articulating a lot of these feelings at the time. You go on the dole, and that really, you feel very shameful about that at the time.
Yeah, because, you know, I felt on top of the world 3 years previously, where, you know, your 21st birthday, you have a lot of friends around you, you know, you're nominated for an All-Star, you know, you're starting your first job, and, you know, a salary and all those aspects, and, you know, life feels really good and it's mapped out for you. And then, you know, I've no one ringing me to offer me a job. I'm not in the Galway senior team. No one's offering me an option there.
Are you still in touch with the players? Because they would be your circle of friends.
Yes, a certain amount. But part of you wants to detach from that because you're heartbroken. And it's like, you know, you break up with a girl. You don't want to see her either, because...
And it feels,
you know,
like that.
Yeah, it feels like that kind of, you know, relationship broken, and a bit of heartbreak around it. And, you know, you probably isolate yourself from certain people and conversations because you really don't want to talk about the team, or, you know, because you feel, you know, from 13 years of age to 24, Galway hurling was a part of my life. And that separation after 10 years, it's a breakup, like, and you don't know where to turn, really, in terms of, I felt I had a lot to give and I wanted to get back there. And that's what the book is about as well, in terms of how I rebuilt myself to do that.
But that is, it's called MVP, Raise Your Game, Unlock Your Potential. And it's coming from that position you were in, which you end up going back to live at home as well. Not unusual now, but it would have been at the time because you've been living away, you've gone through that rite of passage. What happens? How do you pick yourself up from there?
Yeah, listen, I think the month or two at the start, you know, February, March, April, when you've no work, you've no training routine with the county, you know, I was lost and a bit lost for 2 or 3 months there. And you're a bit, you know, in denial about what happened. You're maybe hoping a call will come for work, hoping a call will come from the county management. And you haven't really decided what your new routine is. So, you know, I had to kind of take control of that and say, right, I can't be waiting on people to offer me work, or I can't be waiting on people to, you know, call me back into the Galway senior team. I have to do some work myself to make that happen.
It dawns on you.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I knew I'd have exams coming in August, so you could set a plan in place in terms of how we're going to study for that. And, you know, I could set a plan in place in terms of how he's going to get back in with Galway. And, you know, I lean into many professionals in terms of spring coaches and nutritionists and S&C coaches to help with the Galway side of things. And, you know, leaned into people within the work environment to say, right, how do I navigate this next piece in terms of passing my exams? And, you know, thankfully things started to take shape and I had a bit of a routine. And, you know, by the end of that year, I was very proud to say I passed my exams, got called back in with Galway, and, you know, got a job the following January as well. So, you know, from that very dark
place. Which is incredible, early 2009 to get a job in the crashing economy that was happening. And then a year later, you're back in the back where you belong.
Yeah, it was a really, really, you know, kind of Cartesian moment for me, in terms of been back in with Galway and been on a bus to going to Croke Park again and playing in All-Ireland quarterfinals and Leinster finals. And, you know, it was really, really, I think I never took for granted playing with Galway, but, you know, I was really coming from a place of gratitude now rather than fear playing these matches and the privilege of it. And
it's a totally different attitude.
Yeah, and same from a work perspective as well. I'd obviously worked in practice for nearly 4 years, but now I was working in industry and it was a whole different world for me as well. And, you know, I just really was really grateful for that year in particular. And, you know, my life kind of been rebuilt again from scratch.
That's 2010. But you must have been on the bench, though, were you, initially? Did you have to?
I was told I was fourth choice, all right, in terms of starting in the position. But I got a little break at the start of the year in terms of playing the first kind of Walsh Cup. And, you know, from there, you know, I held my position for the rest of the year and got, you know, named vice captain by the manager at the end of the year and was nominated for an All-Star. So
incredible.
Yeah, no, it was a really, really positive turnaround and just showed, with, you know, a bit of belief and a plan what you can achieve.
Galway made the final in that year, 2010.
2012 we made the final, yeah. Yeah.
And so you were still there.
Still there, thankfully. Yeah, we won our first Leinster title that year as well, and in the county's history. So, you know, that's
it. It was only 2-3 years earlier, I think, was it 2009?
Yeah, we joined Leinster, yeah. So that was a really positive experience and something I really enjoyed.
And you're back, everything is going good in the career as well?
Yeah, I suppose what would happen then for me, I suppose my second kind of change was my inter-county career finished in 2013. Again, not by my own choice. I was 29, 30 years of age and felt I had a couple of years to give. And
seems, you know, young, yeah.
It comes at a bit of a shock again. Like,
and were you seen as being spun out, or what was the...
I just was told maybe I'd lost a bit of form that year and they were looking at younger fellas for the season ahead, and that was it really. And you know, you don't really have any position of power to argue your case at that stage. And
having gone through that before, were you better equipped this time?
I was and I wasn't, Oliver, because you know, part of me was saying, you know, the manager's going to be in place for another 2 or 3 years and he's the one that's dropping me now. And, you know, do I have the energy to go training on my own at that level again to try and prove a point to a person that had probably seen me for, you know, the last 10 years playing with the seniors, like, you know. So it probably did make me look at, right, what's the bigger life picture for me now as a person. And, you know, I hadn't been entirely happy in my career as an accountant at that point.
And
I had started working with a life coach, Fran O'Reilly, through the Gaelic Players Association at the start of 2013. And, you know, that really did help me navigate that change in terms of going back to college again at 29, you know, telling my parents maybe I was thinking of changing career. And it did take 3 years in terms of doing a certificate and a master's. And, you know, I've gone on and done life and executive coaching and leadership development keeping in training as well. And, you know, that's the space I wanted to head into in terms of high performance coaching and health and wellbeing coaching.
You had a rough time as well around that time, leaving the intercounty panel. Some friends lost their lives to mental illness, essentially.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I suppose 2011, I was coaching in my club with an underage team, and we had a really special young fella, Andrew Rogers, who were coaching at the time, and he was 14, 15, and, you know, decided to take his own life, you know, with a surprise for all of us. And, you know, he was such a bubbly, energetic young man, and, you know, he was such a caring young man and respectful young man, and, you know, it was a huge surprise for us all, and, you know, it really caught us by surprise. And, you know, you're questioning yourself, and during that period, what did you miss, or, you know, what could you have done better? And, you know, it's probably led me to, you know, what I'm doing now. And then obviously losing Niall Dunhu at Galway in 2013 as well was such a surprise, even though we knew Niall was struggling.
Yeah, and a teammate as well.
The two of us probably had played side by side in 2012 in that All-Ireland run, and 2013 both of us were probably struggling internally off the field, and we didn't really fulfil our potential on the field. So we sat alongside each other a lot on the bus and, you know, on the dugout that year as subs. And, you know, Niall would have been expressing to me the difficulties he was having at different times that year. And, you know, unfortunately, we got knocked out in July that year with Galway, and Niall is living in South Galway and I'm in West Galway, and we probably didn't have that interaction four or five times a week. And then, you know, he's back with his club and I'm back with my club. And, yeah, unfortunately, he took his life then that October. And, yeah, it's been, you know, you'd always think of these people on a regular basis, and, you know, how their families are coping, etc.
Yeah, the devastation for the immediate families. But what does it do to you in your head as a friend? Because it has such a kind of a shockwave all around the community, doesn't it?
It does, like we tried to remember Niall as best we could last year with the memorial match. We had, you know, raised nearly, I think, 40, 50,000 with Jigsaw for youth mental health services. And, you know, it's great to think that Niall's legacy will help with that and help younger teenagers and adolescents in that area in particular.
Conversations
and
massively improved.
Yeah, because, you know, even within a sports environment or a work environment, you know, it's not a stigma anymore to be say that you're suffering from, you know, a mental health issue or you need some help that you're struggling. And I think that vulnerability is starting to come through a lot more with people in conversation. So, you know, the likes of Jigsaw and other mental health services are vital now that we remove that stigma and get people support.
And I want to mention that support is there as well on rte.ie/helplines at this point. So it's a difficult time for you. Are you bitter when you're watching? Because Galway are doing really well at this stage, aren't they? Into, is it 2015? Do they make a final?
Yeah, and I suppose
you're no longer
going back to college. For me, was a bit of a healing process for that in terms of, you know, here I can add value in terms of working with sports people or business people in terms of their health or well-being or high performance. And I did a thesis around career transition and retirement, and, you know, from that you kind of learn some people can take, you know, 6 weeks or 6 months to come through that transition period or change. Others take up to 3 years, and I definitely felt that. And I remember sitting at the All-Ireland final in 2015 when the seniors were playing and we had won the minor previously that day, and I was working as a sports psychologist with them, and you know, just feeling heartbroken that Galway were 4 points up at half time, and I felt like I wanted to leave the stadium because I felt I was going to miss out and you know, not being in the group and playing with the group, and my heart was going to burst with sadness. So I knew at that point I hadn't really dealt with it or recovered as well as I could, and you know, it took a couple of years and working with different.
Did you feel guilty at the relief when they didn't win that day?
Listen, it's such a weird thing to say, you know, the team that you love playing with and a county you love playing and a game you love playing, that, you know, you would have been heartbroken if they won just because you're missing out yourself. Like, and that was such a weird emotion to be feeling, because since I was 9 or 10 years of age, I wanted to go between all Ireland's and want to be a part of it. So I didn't know what was happening internally and why that was. And, you know, it was the heartbreak of not being part of that setup and not being able to experience those joyous moments with friends, like real lifelong friends. Like, and, you know, it probably took me another 2 years to realise that I'd healed from that when I won the All-Ireland in 2017. And you're out in the field, you know, jumping with the senior lads after the minors had won. And I was working with the minors, and it was great to meet past teammates and friends and share that moment with them, because I knew how hard some of them worked for 10 or 12 years to get to that point. And as
you
a county,
healed at that stage, were you?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. It was just completely joyous, the whole aftermath of the match and the homecoming and everything, and being able to share those moments with them, you know, for 2 or 3 days was fantastic. fantastic. Like for
first All Ireland in your lifetime, really. I mean,
yeah,
say you
it
were
really
a
was. Like,
last...
I know 87, 88 was the last time, so it was only 5 or 6. So your memories that are vague, and obviously, I've seen the footballers win in 98 and 2001, and they were great memories.
So you do this big career change and a master's, and this is what you do now. You're a sports psychologist.
Yeah, yeah.
Who have you been working with in the last few years?
Yeah, the last 10 years, I suppose, you know, started with the Galway Minors in hurling, and then it led to the Galway Senior Footballers for 5 years under Kevin Walsh, and Waterford Senior Hurlers, Tipp Senior Hurlers, Limerick Senior Hurlers, Offaly Senior Hurlers, Ballygunner Senior Hurlers, Uachtaráid Footballers. And, you know, we've been lucky to win national finals and All-Ireland finals with a lot of those groups, and, you know, some great memories and friendships have been massive along the way, and you know, it's really opened up the whole country to me, to, you know, different people and different cultures. And
you're able to celebrate Waterford teams in all Ireland. So
yeah, yeah,
he's definitely healed, that's for sure.
Waterford has been a great place for me in terms of changing my life around, going to college down there in Waterford IT, and obviously winning, you know, multiple national honours with Ballygunner as well, and creating lasting friendships. So yeah, it's a place that's very close to my heart.
I hope you're helping the Daisha out as well. They're very sore down there many years. To touch on the experience you've had, have you spoken, has the GAA improved in how, you know, fellas are dropped from teams, and what you talked about, the devastation of being separated from friends and the bitterness and the grudges that can eat people up?
Yeah, listen, I think the transitions that's happened now since I started out, you know, particularly with the Gaelic Players Association, is that, you know, there's the support around being a student athlete, and, you know, obviously they're high risk in terms of mental health as well, because there's a lot of multiple demands that I experienced in my early 20s around that aspect. You know, players leaving the game as well, how that transition is managed as well, and you often see the likes of county boards and management making statements recognising the value and contribution of players, and you can do a transition programme through that as well. And
massive improvements,
yeah, and even the work environment as well, obviously, you know, workplace well-being, you know, leadership training and all those team development things that I do now as well, and the one-to-one coaching, you know, they are very normalised now within work environments, that people have those resources to help them navigate the obvious challenges that life brings for us all.
MVP is Book of the Month on Easton, so selling well, and I hope you're managing your delight and allowing yourself to enjoy the moment. If you have 30 seconds, what would your lessons be for people on this story, on the MVP, the book?
Yeah, I would hope that this book would give you, you know, real clarity in terms of who you are, what you stand for. It will allow you to, you know, focus on what you're good at in terms of your confidence and your ability. And it'll help you to recognise maybe some of the fears that you have, and able to overcome those fears in terms of getting the best out of your potential, whether that's from a personal point of view or professional point of view or sporting point of view. And that's what my book wants to give, is just those key principles to people to navigate, you know, the multiple lives that we do have, the multiple senses of selves, and, you know, to get the best out of your potential.
Enjoy the whole thing.
Yeah, in a healthy and sustainable way, because I've probably done it too much the other way, where, you know, I caused a lot of mental distress for myself.
It'll be helpful for the men and women out there. Well, Tony O'Gregan, thanks a million for joining us. We'll have to get back to your family. There's a Harry Og. You have a Harry Og?
Yeah, Harry Og.
How does Tony Og end up with Harry Og?
My wife's father is Harry, so we decided to keep the tradition going.
I see. Okay.
I put my Og in there just to keep our side of the coin.
MVP, as in most valuable player, that's taken in from American football. MVP, Raise Your Game, Unlock Your Potential by Tony O'Gregan, out now from Hachette Books. Tony Og, thanks a million.
Thank you, Oliver.
Safe home.